No pressure, of course. No pressure. Yeah, yeah. The book is it's based on Fair City. It's a soap opera set in.
Oh my god. There comes Arthur. He's got backup.
He's got backup plugs and yeah. You need that, don't you? In case.
Just in case.
You run out of chat time with a battery.
Or you need to go and have a shower.
Yeah. Oh, it's the exact same interface, of course. Yeah.
There we go. Are we back? Are we live?
Yeah, we're live. What's this book you're talking about? That you don't mind talking about?
No, because it's not an intellectual property.
But somebody who listens to what you're about to say may actually be able to contribute to your book.
Exactly, and that's it. It's not like someone's going to steal their day and write the book in the back of it, because that takes a lot of effort. I'm interested in the book will be called Mimicry. It's going to be a book based on a compulsion to repeat and to copy, and why that can be helpful and sometimes unhelpful. And I'm looking at this idea of that repetition and copying and mimicry are useful tools, but we don't know when to stop using them. So in other words, we replicate relationships in terms of relationship mistakes. We replicate, or we deliberately overcompensate how we raise children based on our own first child versus how we were raised. And then I'm going to go into it, then probably more interestingly, because I still think a lot of, for example, mental health problems are an inability to respond in another way to a new situation.
Hang on, let me slow you down. An inability to respond in a novel way to a new situation.
Yeah.
So as opposed to a...
Sometimes people keep bringing their old response to actually a new set of circumstances.
Always do what you've always done, you'll always get the same result. Yeah.
And not even just that, but like people find it very hard to, you know, they fixate on this is what I'm here to do. And then, but then you meet someone else who's got a different sense of empathy and requires different things about interaction. You don't know how to do that. It's because you copy what you've done before. Now what I'm going to try and scale this up, I'm going to start off with the individual, go through to the family. Then I'm going to go on to the company. And the company will include things like bureaucracy, like the army. The army always prepares for the last war they fight, so we always prepare for the last war and the next one. And also then,
do you know the 33 strategies of war, that book?
No.
Okay, put that in the back of your head somewhere, right? Because this might be a very full of stuff about the, you know, about Napoleon and about other people.
Napoleon fought 50 major battles, I think, just before either Jena or before Waterloo, and he said, I learned nothing new in each of the battles that I fought, because he just brought a new way of creating war that actually worked really well at the time. It was basically just show shed loads of troops in triangular points at straight lines and break through them and then outflank them around. And people kept not responding to that, so we didn't need to innovate. And then he eventually did, well, he ran it as troops, really. But I'm going to bring it on then to the nation state as well as the company, which is why how nation states find it very hard to actually give themselves a new covenant. This idea of a new republic, we're obsessed with dates, the Titanic 100 years. I like the idea from Hobbes around the short century, the long century. So the 20th century actually began in 1914 and ended in 1989. That was the 20th century. It's only 75 years long.
I've never heard that.
It's an amazing concept. We fetishize fives and zeros.
Where do I find that idea from Hobbes?
It's just called...
Is it in an article or is it in a book?
No, it's a full book. I think it's called The Short 20th Century. Or the age of violence might be called. And he moves outside standard chronologies and trying to understand history. And I think the nation states, again, we kind of get prepared for what are we going to do for 5 years' time or 10 years' time. We don't do enough things that have organic potential within them where we're like, this is live, this is now, what are we going to do about it? Let's wait for the next general election. Not good enough anymore. Just not good enough. So we keep repeating, we keep copying. And it's helpful. If we didn't do it, we'd always have to, it'd be very cognitively expensive for us to do, keep producing novel stuff.
We'd be emotional wrecks?
Yeah, you can't respond in a fresh way to everything you're confronted with because you run out of time. So where do you buy your jacket? Where would you normally buy a jacket if it's for work purposes? If you start factoring into your choice set every possible shop and pub, you'll never get out of it. You need to be able to say, I go to two places for black jackets, and I'm going to stick with that for a while.
But there's one thing that I do in my life, which is entirely the opposite of that, in which I always do something I've never done before, every time I cook a dinner party, every single Great. Time, I have never, ever in my entire life cooked the same dinner party twice.
Yeah.
My wife is horrified at the idea.
You have a need to do it.
I have a need.
Yeah.
I have a need.
It's fascinating how we kind of, by repetition, you build that neural pathway that kind of ingrains that behavior, which makes it
more difficult. And it becomes more self-fulfilling then again. And I'm really, I think the basics of therapy are around getting people to spot repetition in the patterns of what they do and get them to stop doing that. But I'm really interested in how do you take that as systemically? You know, why do we have the same organogram? Why do people, why does HR?